This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
Good evening, this is the Manchester United Fan Show. It's time to reflect on that 1-1 draw with Liverpool this afternoon. Manchester United sitting pretty in 13th spot in the Premier League. 10 points from 9 games. Liverpool, of course, still at the summit of the Premier League. 25 points, 15 more points than Manchester United after 9 games of this Premier League season, and still unbeaten. Yes, Liverpool still unbeaten. Their 18 winning game streak was, of course, halted with that draw at Old Trafford, but they remain unbeaten. Marcus Rashford putting Manchester United in the lead, perhaps in somewhat controversial circumstances. And then Adam Lallana coming off the bench for his first goal since 2017, March, May, 2017, whenever it was. 1-1 at Old Trafford. I'm here with Ben Senior. Hello, Ben.
Hello. How are we?
I'm okay, mate. How are you? How are you feeling?
I feel a little bit deflated after that. I mean, going into the game, I felt really nervous as a United fan and going into it, because I think everyone out there was just touting us to get battered today. But we started so well, went the 1-0 up, and I thought we had it in the bag. And then Adam Lallana pops up, doesn't he, at the end.
Adam Lallana, the forgotten man. The forgotten man came off the bench. It was quite interesting because it sounded like the biggest cheer in the stadium was when Jordan Henderson got taken off because he wasn't brilliant. Adam Lallana obviously replaced him and then scored the goal. We're now going to throw straight to Simon Peach, chief football writer for the PA News Agency. He was at Old Trafford today. Simon, first and foremost, the atmosphere inside the ground, it felt really on and off. For periods, it was buzzing, and then it felt, on some occasions, it wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't so buzzing.
I'd have to politely disagree. I thought the atmosphere, maybe it's because I'm used to the atmosphere at Old Trafford being so tepid, but I thought it was a good atmosphere, kind of, it was a good game when you were in the stadium. It's one of those ones that sometimes get a different reaction for the viewers at home, but being there as a neutral, I enjoyed the occasion. I thought it was a hard-fought game, and yeah, I think 1-0 was perhaps the right result at the end of the day, but United will obviously be disappointed not to have held on.
It's interesting because we had the final whistle show earlier and we had some United fans on saying that 100% United deserved the victory. Then we had a Liverpool journo on and he said, no, Liverpool absolutely deserved to equalise. You think that 1-0 was a fair result?
Yeah, it's hard to argue with. I mean, and you wonder if the match had been 10 minutes longer whether Liverpool would have got the winner, because they had the momentum in the bit between their teams. But I think United did well for the most part. They performed better than many people had predicted. I had a feeling they're going to get a positive result just because of the way things have been the last 2 weeks, and the fact that a number of their players were staying back and they could plan for this. And I thought Solskjaer deployed an interesting and quite smart tactics. And look, I think if United had won, I spoke to some of the Liverpool players afterwards, and the general feeling was that they couldn't have really argued if United had won, but it said a lot about them that they ground out and got the point.
Interesting. And you mentioned Ole Gunnar Solskjaer there. What do you think this is going to do for his reputation? Because, I don't know, he's perhaps been questioned with regards to his tactical nous, I suppose, his tactical know-how, and whether it was all to do with him, but part of his coaching staff as well, whether Mike Phelan had a lot to do with the way that United set up today. But it goes to show that when it comes to these kinds of games, he's got a bit about him.
Yeah, I think the two-week break helps sharpen the mind, but I don't want to take too much away from him. Playing with two forwards in Daniel James and Marcus Rashford, neither of them are out and out number nines, and them splitting with the likes of Pereira coming through, I thought that worked well. The three-man defence with the two wing-backs, I'll be honest, I don't understand why they didn't try that from the start of the season, because they had a surplus of centre-backs, none of them which were absolutely outstanding, other than maybe Harry Maguire. So why not try that with your wing-backs, because you've got the personnel to do it. I thought it went well, but as we all know, with Manchester United and the season that they have, it could all change very quickly in Belgrade on Thursday, and then they go away to Norwich. They need to build on this. That's the key.
Yeah, absolutely. That is most definitely the key. Simon, you were there in and around the press area, like you've just said, after the game. What was the feeling like? I know because afterwards we've heard quotes from Jurgen Klopp about VAR. We've heard quotes from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer about VAR. It's all everybody's talking about again. Could you really feel the anger, the heat from Jurgen Klopp with regards to the decision today to allow United that first goal?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see Jurgen Klopp because I was down with the players, but I certainly saw him on the touchline. Personally, I thought it was a... I could understand it being given if the foul was called Lindelof I've just had a mind blank.
On Divock Origi.
That foul would have been called... sorry, with Origi, yeah, of course. But at the same time, if you slow it down, then it's going to look worse. I thought it was soft. I also understand why Jurgen Klopp was annoyed. It's a strange one. The Mane handball, I think Lindelof's a lucky boy because he got absolutely turned inside out. Personally, I feel like it's deflecting a little bit. Liverpool just weren't very good. There's some kind of hold on them at Old Trafford. They can't perform there under Jurgen Klopp. I think I saw a statistic that Roy Hodgson's side has scored twice as many goals at Old Trafford than Liverpool. Wow. Roy Hodgson's Liverpool side has scored twice as many goals as Jurgen Klopp's in their respective games. So, look, I can understand frustration, but it doesn't disguise a bad performance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said this earlier to a Liverpool journo, and he sort of half agreed with me, half didn't agree with me. And I just feel like it's something that filters throughout Liverpool. And this has stemmed... Listen, we know the rivalry exists. It's still, regardless of what you say, North London and Merseyside derby, United-Liverpool still remains, in my opinion, the strongest, the most fierce rivalry in the Premier League. And there is a notable gulf between the two teams now, of course. But when you look at the arguments between the two and the fact that United did come back today and did play well against Liverpool, and you think about the fact that Liverpool haven't performed well there under Jurgen Klopp, I feel like it just comes through, it filters throughout the club that with Liverpool, that United game is so big and they can't seem to shake that off, when really what's important for Liverpool is to win that title, win that first title since 1990. But there seems to be this hold on them about playing Manchester United at Old Trafford and at Anfield for that matter, that they kind of have to win it.
Yeah. I do agree that there is a hold on. Last season, you could argue that it cost them the title in the end because Man United were there for the taking. Somehow they couldn't beat an injury-battered side. So there is something that they haven't quite managed to master. But at the end of the day, I think the key thing is that when I spoke to the Liverpool players after the game, they weren't too downhearted. They were seeing the positives. Yes, their 17-game winning streak had come to an end, but there was a real feeling of momentum still. That late goal had kind of injected that momentum back into them, so they didn't seem like they were derailed. And they saw it as a positive point. I made the point that Man United are pretty rubbish and you've not had to beat them, but they said, it's Old Trafford. This game is different from other games. And a point is a good point.
Fair play for asking that, Simon. Just before you go, and I'm going to unfortunately feed into what I'm just about to ask you, but as a journo, you know, you are a journo for the PA News Agency. How frustrating is it for you to continue writing and about VAR? And I don't know whether you have, but, you know, I don't know whether that's dominated your report and the work that you've done surrounding this game. But because VAR is so dominant this season and it will be dominant on this game, does it get boring for you having to report on it?
Yeah, a little. And just more frustration. I mean, I'm a football fan myself. I support a team in the Premier League that get VAR decisions for them and against them. But my main issue is the way it's used. In different countries, there's not one system that's used across the world. It's used in different ways. And personally, I think we use it wrong, certainly with the offside decisions. And also, for example, I spent some time with Howard Webb, who led the implementation of video assistant referees in Major League Soccer, which, believe it or not, is out there now. And they don't use the offside lines. They do it by, can the VAR, is it a clear and obvious error? I think that works better, personally. And secondly, they actively ask the referees to go and check decisions for the pitch on the TV screens by the pitch. So far, I don't remember them being used. Unless I'm mistaken, I didn't watch much of the day last night. So I don't understand. Well, MLS at first did what we do now, and then they realised it didn't actually help the people in the ground understand who was making the decision and why the decision was being made. So I'd like to see that brought in moving forward.
Awesome. Simon, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it while you're driving back from Old Trafford this evening. Thank you.
No worries.
That was Simon Peach, chief football writer for the PA News Agency, reporting on Manchester United. Of course, he mentioned the VAR there, Ben. I've got one word to describe VAR, to be honest with you. Biz-eds. It's just all about biz-eds trying to do something in an ivory tower, which is just complete guffery. And I know that we speak about it all the time. And I know that every time we speak about it, I always say, I speak about this all the time on this station, blah, 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 blah. But today, this weekend alone, it's been a complete and utter shambles. You can point to Gerard Deulofeu yesterday. Stonewaller of a pen. Absolute stonewaller of a pen. Clear reason as to why VAR is there. By the way, ref, that's a pen. Nice and easy. Quick and simple. Job done. You look at Kevin De Bruyne and you look at the ultra sensitivity of Pep Guardiola, by the way. Oh, it's diving, it's diving, it's diving, he said in his post-match presser. Actually, I'm not sure that was a penalty. I think their legs did get tangled, but he quite clearly, De Bruyne, manoeuvred himself so he could go over. I'm not sure that was a penalty, and then Pep uses it in the way that he uses it. But today, crikey, right. I mean, Wolves as well. Wolves, that situation there, they were taking a kickoff for crying out loud. And again, it was a marginal offside. What are strikers to do in these situations? Spurs, again, got their goal. It came up as no goal on the screens. It just makes football look like a mockery. English football look like a complete farce to the rest of the world. And today, listen, I was asked, we had a Liverpool journal on earlier, and he actually asked me, he was like, what do you think? Do you think that Divock Origi's was a foul? And I was brutally honest. Yes, it was a foul. However, one, would Scott McTominay have got the ball instead? It was a heavy touch from Divock Origi, so you could factor that in. And two, it was a passage of play before the counter. So that will happen on numerous occasions throughout the game. You could have looked, I haven't looked back yet. I haven't looked at the rest of the United-Liverpool game. I haven't watched it back on replay. But before Adam Lallana's goal, I bet there's an incident 5, 10, 20 seconds earlier where there could have been a foul. Or perhaps there might have been a throw-in awarded to United. It all then kickstarts a chain reaction of events that lead to that Adam Lallana goal. So unless we're going to call every single decision, you can't give that Divock Origi foul because it was questionable at the time. And then United played on. Liverpool had a chance to then defend the attack. They didn't. United scored.
I think the whole issue is, I mean, you touched on it there, with football, we get hung up a bit because it is all about opinions. And you just said there you thought it was a foul. Personally, I didn't think it was a foul.
No.
I didn't think it was enough contact for him to go down. Mm-hmm. I feel like football is a contact sport. You've got to have that when you're going for a tackle. There's going to be that sort of your foot's clipping his. So I'm not sure that was actual foul. If it had been given, I don't think you can argue too much. So it's one of those where you say, yeah, it is down to opinion. And we get hung up with the whole of like football with extremes. So even if it comes down to a player having a performance, you are either absolutely amazing one week or get out of my club the next week. Look at Rashford. This time last week, we were talking about Rashford and saying, look, all he needs is a bit of confidence, because everyone on Twitter and every United fan was out there was saying he's not good enough for United. Look at him today. He's putting a very good performance and very nearly won us the game against the league leaders. So I think the whole culture, we get hung up on these extremes of it has to be this or that, and VAR has just shown that up big time. When it comes to offsides, that should be simple. He's offside or he's not. And the handball for the goal today, if that's the ruling, that's the ruling. But no one really knows. And it's not really been told by the people that are in these VAR rooms what the actual rules are for these sort of things. So with handballs, and it seems to be now that if you score a goal, even if it just touches your hand at all, that's a foul. But then you'll probably see next week that might happen and it won't be given. So it's the consistency that you need. And I feel like, look, VAR, whether you're a fan of it or not, it's here, and we can't really do much about that. And my only annoyance at it, really, and when you really get aggravated, whether it goes for or against your team, I think, feel like United have been quite lucky with it on most occasions, and it's gone United's way. But it's when it takes so long to do it. And you think of, like, in the past sort of season, whether it's been in the Champions League when City last season scored that last minute goal against Spurs, and that got chalked off. I mean, and from a United point of view, that was absolutely brilliant to see. But
example,
yeah, and it's like, but it's when it takes like the best part of 2 minutes to come up with a decision, and you're thinking that can't be football. We're not. The game is a sport, but it's a spectacle, and you go to watch a game of football. You don't go to watch something that's absolutely every single detail has to be absolutely perfect, because then at times like this, what do we talk about? And football isn't a game where it's black or white and everything has to be black or white. It's a multitude of opinions, and that's what is great about it. And I feel like it's just made us really get hung up on these certain decisions that the referees themselves, I mean, I know Simon mentioned it there, that the referees haven't been on the side of the pitch, and it's like, yeah, that's very true, but why could they not incorporate it, even if it was just on television where they had the screens of, do you know who are in the VAR? It'd be nice to see in them rooms what goes on and how it's deferred. And because I feel like the thing at the minute is the people in the VAR rooms don't want to embarrass the referee on the pitch. So if they've made a decision and it's not, like that Watford pen that should have been yesterday was...
the most obvious pen you've ever seen.
Like, you just can't understand how that wouldn't be given. And it's like, fair enough, if the ref's missed it, then you can't have a go at him. And if he's just not seen it, but someone in the room has to go, no, that is a pen there, and he gives it.
Yeah.
And we have to get over this like embarrassment of the referee getting decisions wrong.
Couldn't agree more, mate. I am at the end of my tether having this argument. I'm not going to lie to you. And the final word on it, the calamity of VAR, is that this was brought in ultimately so fans and players and managers and clubs in general didn't feel cheated about results that went against them. So they got everything right. What's actually happened is that we now arguably feel more cheated than ever before, because the technology's there and they are still getting it wrong. Anyway, it's the Man United Fan Show on Love Sport.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It's the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport, coming live to you after the 1-1 draw with Liverpool today. That winning streak for Liverpool was ended, but should it have been 3 points for Manchester United? Ben Senior is in the studio with us. Ben, should it have been 3 points for Manchester United?
I mean, I know I might be slightly biased here, but I think it really should have been. I think Ollie got his tactics spot on at the start of the game today. United trying out a different formation. The 3/5 at the back really worked, really nullified Liverpool's threats. Their full-backs, Alexander-Arnold and Robertson, just weren't in the game for the best part of 80 minutes. And I feel like up until that point, you could tell that the atmosphere was great in the ground. The fans were up for it. Everyone was behind him. And then suddenly, just a defensive error switched off, whether it was the players were tired, whether it just the game plan just sort of, they got to 8 minutes and then it just sort of fell apart a bit and Liverpool nicked it. So I feel like United players will be definitely annoyed that they didn't get the 3 points today, because I think that would have been a massive, massive result.
Yeah, it would have been huge, and it looks so close to happening. You just felt though that Liverpool would have produced something, and actually there was a fear after Adam Lallana scored that goal that maybe, just maybe, they might go on to get another one. That corner right at the death, you could just see Virgil van Dijk leaping like a salmon to head home.
Oh, I was shaking my nerves towards the end of it, and you're thinking, oh no, here we go, we're crumbling again. But yeah, it is, I used the word before, I feel deflated, and that's just how it feels, because I feel like we could have got so much more out of that game, and it's just disappointing when you look at it. And I know Simon on the phone was mentioning before about this curse of Old Trafford almost that Liverpool seems to have, because you look at the past two seasons. I mean, last year when we had about four players injured in the first 20 minutes, and this season where the squad's supposedly United's worst squad of all time, and Liverpool, which is one of their best teams that they've had in recent times, and the European champions and all that, and they can't beat us. So I feel like you've got to take something out of this, and it seems to me at the minute that Ollie is very good at getting his players up for big games. So you think of like big games last season when it comes to that PSG Champions League game, when you think the start of this season, the Chelsea game at home, and today we seem really up for it. But you just need to build, you need to go and build on that now and say, look, like, we had a very makeshift side today. You're thinking even Twenzebe got injured in the warm-up and Marcus Rojo comes in. That United 11 today was not a great 11. But they all worked hard. They all knew the job. And we said this time last week, we just hope that something's going on the training pitch that you can see some sort of like improvement. And I feel like today you did. So I'm going to try and take the positives out of today, because I know it's United-Liverpool and I would have absolutely loved to beat them today. But they're the best team in the league by quite a bit at the minute, so I don't think that's a... Look, before the game, I would have taken a draw, and I felt like we did play positive football.
Well, you mentioned the 11 there. I'm going to read it out quickly now. De Gea, Lindelof, Maguire, Rojo, Wan-Bissaka, McTominay, Fred, Young, Pereira, James and... I nearly said Hammers then. James and Rashford. Now, Rojo obviously came in because Axel Tuanzebe was injured in the warm-up. My concern there was that Tuanzebe, despite his inexperience, knows what this fixture is all about. Yeah. You know, he's been at United for a long time and I thought, crikey. But then Marcus Rojo, maybe I'm doing him a disservice. He's been at the club for a while now. He also, I think it's 5 years that he's been at United now, so he is also well aware of the magnitude of this. It's just whether it means as much to him as it would to Tuanzebe, as is. He played okay. But what I want to talk about is that midfield three, essentially, which is what it was. Now, you mentioned the lineup being one of the worst in history, recent history, from Man United against Liverpool. Scott McTominay, Fred and Andreas Pereira. How do you think they did as a three?
I mean, today, I think they did quite well. And you when you saw the starting lineup, I'm thinking, look, McTominay, I think, has had a good season and I like McTominay. He's come through at United. You can tell he gets what the club means, and he does act as a leader on that pitch, and he breaks up play. And okay, he's limited to how much quality he's got. He's not a world class player. He's not going to beat 3-4 players and start pinging balls everywhere. But he's a good player. I think he deserves to be in the United shirt in that team. Fred, I've had nightmares over Fred this season because he has just been woeful. But I mean, today he was busy. He broke up play. Didn't really offer much more than that. And actually, Pereira, I thought, had a really good game. I thought he started well. He was the one that, with Rashford and James, was setting the press and setting the tempo and getting in amongst Liverpool and not letting them play and breaking it down. But, I mean, the problem with Pereira is you can tell, technically, he's a very, very good footballer. He can do pretty much anything on the football pitch, and he's got an engine on him. But what is his position? And where does he fit in a United team? Because I don't really know. He played number 10 today, but then next week he'll probably play left mid or centre mid.
Yeah,
so.
It's difficult. You're bang on with Pereira. And he's one of those players who... There are often players that signed for United. Liam Miller, the late Liam Miller, was one for me when he came. And I thought, I really want him. I really want him to succeed at United and be a great player for the club. Alan Smith was another one. And listen, he started very well. And I think the arrival of Wayne Rooney somewhat sort of pushed him back a little bit. Then he suffered injury, of course, and was never the same player. Gradually drifted down the leagues after moving to Newcastle after United. But Andreas Pereira is one that I've wanted. I remember seeing him at United very early on. I thought, I really think he could be a good player. He spent some time on loan. But my fear is that sometimes there are just levels, and on occasions today, like you said, he did have a good game, but there were just a couple of occasions when he got the ball in decent spaces and it almost looked like he didn't have that next level to either drop a shoulder and take a man on or create a bit of spark, you know, somewhere on the pitch. So it's going to remain to be seen what happens with Andreas Pereira. I hope he succeeds, but I'm not entirely sure. A former United player is Roy Carroll. Now, on Friday, Richard Lee and Patrick Christie's were joined by Roy on The Breakfast Show. He spoke about his memories of playing under Sir Alex and also what he feels about the current regime.
It's going to be very hard for Ollie at the moment because things at the moment at Manchester United are not looking well. The football, I watched them against Newcastle, and I tell you the truth, I had to turn it off because it's not Manchester United I used to know. The attacking team... they were a very good tackling team, Manchester United, back in the day, but they haven't got that. They haven't got that experience of the players you can attack teams. And I think teams are not scared of Manchester United anymore, so teams are attacking them more, and that's the big problem. Once you lose that name of Manchester United, then teams will just come out and attack you, and they don't care who you are anymore, and that's the problem. Manchester United, and Ollie has to rebuild Manchester United from scratch, and that's the thing what he has to do, and hopefully he will have time to change it around, because Ollie's a very good man, but in this business as a manager, it's all about getting results, and that's what football's all about now, and managers don't last long in football anymore.
No, this is the point, right? In that we're reading today that there might be some recruitment in January, maybe bringing in a number nine, maybe a midfielder, and then there'll be, they're saying, six signings over the next couple of transfer windows. But is it as simple as that? Because you've been in the squad where you will have seen the dynamic of that squad. You will have seen the, I suppose, the ethos, the way in which they you have to win. You know, we're seeing it with City and Liverpool at the moment, where it just feels like there is an expectation that you go out and you win. Certainly under Sir Alex, you felt like that with United. They always seem to find a way, even when they didn't play well. The Manchester United now, they don't seem to have that. So is it as simple as bring in more players? Because they've kind of done that over the last few years and it hasn't necessarily worked.
Yeah, that's 100%. You can bring players in as much as you want, mate, but it's something else what's happening at Man U. You need, it's what I'm looking at from the outside. It's like you need that winning mentality, and Manchester United hasn't got that at the moment. And I think that needs to change. And the only way that can change is by winning games. It could be three or four scrappy games in a row, like, but they need that confidence. Any team, any player you talk to, you played the game and you know you need that confidence when you go on that pitch. Even when I was playing for Northern Ireland, we were going on a pitch thinking, how many goals are we going to come off this pitch letting in? You know what I mean? Yeah. Michael O'Neill came in, changed the team, changed the confidence around, and we're going on the pitch and we believe that we're going to win every game. And that's a small country of Northern Ireland. Yeah. And that's what Manchester United have to go back to the drawing board and start winning games. And that's the hardest thing in football to do, is win games and get confidence. You can buy all the best players, as I said before, in the world, but it's you have to play for Manchester United. You have to play for that badge, no matter how good you are. You have to play for that badge and give 100% every time you go on that football pitch.
Is that the point? Is that the point that the culture starts with the manager? You mentioned there, because of course, that you're involved in some brilliant Manchester United squads, and I'm interested to get your take as to what it was like back then, because I can imagine that you would all put so much pressure on yourself, but you would thrive off that pressure. But does that all start from the manager? And I guess added to that, is Ole Gunnar Solskjaer the man to help create that?
No, it comes in when you first walk through that front door at Old Trafford. It's the team when you walk in. It's the culture of the club. You know what I mean? It's the belief that you have Manchester United here now, and you have to give everything for Manchester United. And at the moment, I don't think some of the players are doing that. I think they have to go out. They have to go through brick walls to do that for the club. Ollie is a manager. How many managers have been at Manchester United since Sir Alex Ferguson left? Do you know what I mean? There was three or four managers that have been at Manchester United. That I've never seen that in my day. You know what I mean? It's a lot of managers that came through the door and left. So you can't keep blaming the managers. You have to look at the players and say, right, players, get your finger out and do something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the main thing I'm looking at. You can't keep saying it's the manager. Manager has to do this. Manager can just do so much, and then it's up to the players. And the players out there need to go, pull the sleeves up and work hard for the club.
You mentioned
and for themselves.
You mentioned the big guy there, Sir Alex, and there's a lot of, like, looking back with rose-tinted glasses, isn't there? I think happens, and yeah, he's got this legend status, and you know, I'm a United fan, and clearly, you know, love the guy for his results and everything. But is it all true about him? Is there was he as universally loved behind the scenes as we're made out, or not?
For me personally, yes, because I looked up to him as a young lad, and I looked up to him when I came into Manchester United at 23 years old, and I respected the man. And that's the thing in football: you respect your manager, you try and respect your manager as much as you can. Like, and Ferguson was one of the mans I looked up to. But the thing is, Sir Alex is gone now, so yeah. Manchester United has to move on, and that's the big problem. We can talk about Manchester United 5-10 years ago, but we have to talk about Manchester United now in the next 5-10 years. And the way things are going, it's a bit frightening to look at things. I didn't realise Manchester United would have went bad downhill so much, and it's not good to see this happening for a club of Manchester United. I live in Northern Ireland, and there's a lot of Northern Ireland Manchester United supporters in Northern Ireland, and it's just scary when they come up and talk to me and say how bad things are at Manchester United, and things do have to change quickly.
It is a really weird situation. I said a phrase earlier on in the show, you know, Manchester United 2 points above the relegation zone. And I was like, what? You know, I'd never, ever thought I'd say that. And look, obviously, I don't really think they'll go down. But, you know, it is uncharted territory for a lot of United fans. I'm 27 years old. I knew nothing but success for the first, 23 years of my life, pretty much. And then you're kind of dealing with this now. But I'm just quite keen to get your kind of maybe your best Sir Alex memory, if you can. Just remind me of the good old days, please. I want that kind of warm, fuzzy feeling.
No, the good old days was winning trophies, of course. You always want to win games, but you want to win them trophies as well. And that was my enjoyment playing for Manchester United. It was, I remember the time when I played against Arsenal in the FA Cup semi-finals, and we beat them at Aston Villa 1-0. And we had about four or five league games left. And I knew myself as a goalkeeper, yourself, and we all know ourselves. Like, you know you're not having good. The last three games have been awful. And I knew in the back of my mind I wasn't going to play the finals of the FA Cup. And Sir Alex came up to me and spoke to me. And that's how good he was as a manager. He says, Roy, I can't play you in the final because your mind's not in the right way. And I says, 100% agree. And then he turned around and put me on for the last 10 minutes. And that's how I respect the man, you see, because he put you on for the last 10 minutes of the FA Cup final. I've never seen that happen before. Mm-hmm. And that's why I respect him so much. But the good old days when you're winning and you're playing for the likes of Roy Keane, Ruud van Nistelrooy, David Beckham, Ronaldo, it's scary when you look back. I'm 42 years old now, and I still don't believe it. Sometimes I've played with these quality players, and them players are just the down-to-earth, and they just want to win for Manchester United, and Gary Neville and all them ones, just Manchester United through and through, die-hard fans.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
This is the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport. Myself, Matt Beadle, here with United fan Ben Senior. On a day when they did it, the boys did it, they ended Liverpool's 18 Premier League game winning streak. It's all happy, mate. It's all roses. Everything's great.
Yeah, you could say that, can you?
I mean, on another note, you could look at it that no side has dropped more points than United in the Premier League this season from winning positions. Aston Villa are there as well. 8 points dropped from winning positions. That's one that you can look at. When you look at the Premier League table, of course, United in 13th, as things stand, could be so much higher.
I think it just exposes that, just how weak our squad is at the minute, because you're looking at today and you're thinking, right, get to 80 minutes. The plan's worked so far. You just want to bring on someone there that can calm everyone down and control the game a bit more. I think that's what we were missing today.
Absolutely. And possession figures as well are quite interesting. Since stats begun, 2003-04, that's what everyone always says, it's United's second lowest possession figure. I was quite shocked by that stat, because from watching the game, I like to think I can read a football match quite well, I didn't realise that it was such a low percentage that Liverpool had more possession than United to that extent.
No, I honestly didn't realise that just watching it. I think what we did well today is we were just quite effective and everything we did. So I felt like every one of the players, whether it was Wan-Bissaka, they knew what job they were doing, who they were trying to nullify in that Liverpool side, and everyone actually had a job and had a bit of organisation, which was nice to see.
Mm. Just with regards to the fixture itself, and we were talking about this a bit off air, that's the first Prem meeting since November 2001. So we're talking 18 years since two English players have scored in that game. It was David Beckham and Michael Owen on that occasion. So it just goes to show, doesn't it? We were talking about the fixture and what it means to what it used to mean, and those fixtures against Liverpool and against Man City. That local flavour, I guess, in the United-Liverpool fixture has kind of returned. You know, you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold there, and you've got local players or homegrown players like Jordan Henderson, Andrew Robertson to an extent. Of course, he's Scottish. And then you've got Scott McTominay on the other side. You've got Axel Tuanzebe. Had he been playing, he was there. Ashley Young, a homegrown player. So with the United-Liverpool fixture, that does still exist, doesn't it?
I think definitely, yeah. And I think you could tell that all the players were up for that today. And we said last week, you said, if you can't get up for that game, then you might as well just give in now. But I felt like United were up for that today. I mean, this season we've actually played quite a lot of academy graduates in our team. You look at even just Andreas Pereira, we mentioned before, is just a fruit from the United Academy. So I feel like we have got a group of academy players at the minute and people coming through, but there's just no one for them to play with that's that senior sort of world-class player.
Yeah, that's the worry, isn't it, in terms of their development. One man that you could attribute that to is Marcus Rashford, of course. He bagged his fourth goal of the season today, his first in over a month. Of course, he bagged the winner against Leicester in that 1-0 win. Mark Flanagan, our North West correspondent, now joins us on the line. Mark, your review of today's game?
A big improvement. I think it's a moral victory for Ollie, really, in terms of how he set the team up. He played Pereira in the position that Pereira wants to play, and he got the reward for it. Really, it was bold, it was courageous. He, you know, to press them in the way that they did with the two strikers and Pereira in behind, and they hassled and harried Liverpool, and you know, they unsettled them. You know, for the first sort of 60 minutes, you began to wonder what all the fuss was about in terms of Liverpool, the way that United were nullifying them. Obviously, didn't. You know, it was a game in the first hour that wasn't, you know, chances weren't plentiful. But I guess the big worry was that once United had that goal, and the closer you get to the end, they were going to gradually get sucked towards their goal in terms of protecting that lead. And that's only really when Liverpool came into the game, when United tried to start protect the lead and he shoveled things around. So a moral victory for Ollie, and obviously something to build on. I have a thing that I never get carried away with one game and try not to read too much into it. And obviously, the acid test now is what happens in the next four or five games for United. They've got four away games on the trot. You know, go to Norwich, go to Bournemouth. It's picking up the wins at those two games, which is the critical thing in terms of to see really if things are improving or not.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And I think that when you look at that performance, that certainly does showcase a team that are playing for their manager, you'd like to think. In terms of the setup, obviously he went three at the back, and we spoke to Simon Peach earlier, who's a, you know, a PA agency news reporter for Man United, and he said that he couldn't believe it had actually taken so long considering the amount of centre-backs at United's disposal. But you also mentioned the tactical change there. Of course, Liverpool scored shortly after Anthony Martial came on. Now, United did revert back to play safe, I suppose, and try and see the game out. Do you think that was, for as good as what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had done with his tactics during the game, do you think that was an error at the time? A, with the substitution, maybe it was just that the players didn't switch back on, but B, that United then sat back and essentially invited Liverpool to come onto them?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, the other obviously factor, right, is the energy levels, and to play against a side like Liverpool and to do that much running. I mean, Rashford was typical. It was like, you know, he'd been given an energy boost, and in the 2 weeks he's been away, he looked a different player. But you can only do it for so long, particularly if you're not used to it as well. You know, Man United don't really play full sort of football like Liverpool are, and you'd think it was the other way around for the first hour of that game. But I guess that's, you know, those big calls. I mean, it's easy to look back and say, oh, you made a mistake, but he's probably looking at, you know, his players and thinking, well, that guy's running on empty. We need some fresh legs. And, you know, he made a substitute late. He's been criticised for making late substitutes and not getting his substitutes right. And it was, you know, it's a marginal thing. At the end of the day, that goal was not a result of Martial. It was just a couple of errors by two defenders who, apart from that, I've done pretty well. I mean, Liverpool had more chances, but, you know, De Gea wasn't pressed into, you know, action that often, really.
Mark, just to jump on the formation that Ollie played today, and that 3-5-2 or 5 at the back as well, it was very effective for the majority of the game today. Do you think it's something that would have longevity and that Solskjaer would be able to go through the season almost like playing that sort of style of football?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, It's not rocket science. You know, you play to your strength. Maguire, who they brought for a lot of money, who is pivotal to the team, and everyone thinks he's a very important player. His great performances have been playing as part of the three. You know, Rojo and Tuanzebe. I mean, obviously Rojo came in late. You would never play Rojo in a two. You know, you couldn't trust him. And Lindelof, I think, is much better in a three as well. So you play to your strengths. You've got two decent fullbacks. Young is much more of a wing back than a fullback. Wan-Bissaka is going to be a really, really good player, and I think is more adaptable. And it helps with the midfield as well when you've got someone like Pereira, who just looks at the team sheet and probably had a team talk with Ollie and while they were discussing tactics and thinking, this is fantastic. I'm finally playing in the position I'm desperate to play in, and I'm going to show you today that you're wrong to put me on the right-hand side. I'm going to really have an influence on this game. And he did. He was everywhere. He was busting a gut. The amount of times he got in the Liverpool midfield's faces was something of a revelation. You know, him and Rashford really did put themselves about brilliantly. And that's what it's all about. You know, United aren't blessed with great players in a lot of positions. So what you do is you play to your strengths, and definitely three at the back. It just makes so much sense and ticks so many boxes, really.
It does indeed, Mark. And just quickly on Jurgen Klopp's comments and the fact that, you know, he's turned around and said that United always defend. There's only one team that wants to defend. He was quite scathing, really, of United. And the way that Klopp, in my opinion, managed himself throughout that game wasn't the best, really. I was discussing it with Ben. And I think there is, you know, you've got to be gracious in victory and defeat. Liverpool didn't lose today, but I almost feel like it shows a lack of respect when you laugh and joke when another team scores. And he always seems to do that, almost as if to go, oh, do you know what? It didn't really count. And I like the fact that Solskjaer has bitten back a little bit with this, you know, and the VAR stuff, he said, you know, we're not playing basketball, and they've kind of gone at each other, which really, in the grand scheme of things, when you're talking United-Liverpool, is what you want to hear and see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that the unwritten rule of other managers was to try not engage Ferguson in a battle of wits before a game. Because, you know, 99 times out of 100, you were going to come out on the losing team. And, United have got to be braver and bolder about stuff like this and not be prepared and be prepared to do what you know, Ollie's done and talk about 30 years and things like that and believe, because it shows as much as anything that you believe in your team. And the way he set up that team today, it sent out a message to his players. I believe in you. We're going to go toe-to-toe. We're going to press pretty high up this pitch. We're going to take them by surprise. They're going to expect us to park the bus, but you are good enough to play this way. And his players responded. And you know, under Mourinho and to a lesser degree Van Gaal, the amount of times that they were sent out as if to, you know, not concede and not get beaten, they're thinking, hold on a minute, this guy doesn't really believe in us. He in fact, he said it, didn't he, on Sky today. He talked a couple of times about not having the players and not having the quality in his team. Well, Ollie sent a message out to his team today to say, well, you are a good team. And you can take these guys on, and you know, for the majority of the game, they probably just edged it. I mean, I know Firmino had an early chance, and they were lucky with the goal. You know, on another day, VAR worked against United, but you know, over the season, it probably evens itself out. So, United rode the luck a little bit and deserved at least a point.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, before you go, just your final thoughts on everything with regards to today's performance and United moving forward. It's been pretty low on this show, I suppose, over the past month or so, but a cause for optimism?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's got to be, hasn't it? You've got to pick the positives. They do have the core of a decent team, and it just shows what can be done if you put round pegs in round holes. I mean, why it's taking him so long to pick that team and play that way is obviously is a night. We need another night to discuss that. I could probably talk for an hour about that, but you know, he's got to be bolder and play these guys in their right positions, and it just shows what can be done.
Top staff, Mark, thank you very much for joining us.
No problem. Cheers, Matt.
That was Mark Flanagan, our Northwest correspondent. And just to reiterate those Jurgen Klopp comments, it was very interesting. He said everybody built the game up like a mountain, but one team set out to defend and one team made the game. We didn't lose anything. It's just a point. Let's carry on. Quite interestingly, a fella that I'm quite critical of on this show is Jose Mourinho. And he said he never beat Manchester United at Old Trafford. He didn't like the menu. He likes meat and he got fish, so he was not happy. Manchester United fan show on Love Sport.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
It's the Manchester United fan show on Love Sport. We've reflected quite a bit on the 1-1 draw with Liverpool today. There is cause for optimism. United played well. I do think there is an argument to suggest that they are now playing under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, playing for their manager, as it were. An international break perhaps has given Ole a bit of perspective, a bit of time to sit back and decide to play three at the back. So there we go. We move on to the Norwich game next, Ben. A big one, I suppose you could say. There's a saying in Norwich, and it says, along come Norwich. We have the Norwich fan show next up. And the reason it's called Along Come Norwich is because Norwich tend to either break someone's record or create someone's record, as it were. United are in desperate need of a victory. So to play Norwich next week, Along Come Norwich and hand United that victory, potentially. In terms of the record at Carrow Road, it's been pretty decent over the course of the Premier League era, but a couple of notable defeats. One, in Sir Alex's final season at the club, Anthony Pilkington scoring in a 1-0 win didn't matter at the time. The other one was the 04-05 season, where they beat United 2-0 quite convincingly. Of course, that season United were in transition, as it were, trying to get over the Invincibles, trying to get over the Chelsea steam train that was about to hit. But Carrow Road, a relatively happy hunting ground. What do you think for next week?
I think Norwich have been a bit of a surprise package this season. They've had, obviously, Timu Pukki's been quite on quite good form this season up front. Cantwell, I like him in midfield. And they've got some good players and they play some nice football. But I think you're looking from a United perspective, and what Ollie needs is now to build something. He's got that result today, and I felt like that's silenced all the people that were saying we're going to get battered and all that. So now you've got the opportunity to, when you come up against Norwich and against the likes of Bournemouth that I think we've got coming up as well, these are the games that you need to win, that you don't need to pull up any trees, but just start building momentum, start getting those wins, and give the team confidence. And if it is a three at the back that he's going to play, then start playing it every week, and let's get the players used to what we're playing, let's get the players there, and a style of football that he's going to play and take us forward, because I feel like it has just been very, very stop-start this season, where if we have got a good result, then the next week we just don't turn up. So I feel like it's important for Ollie especially, and for United, just to start to build something. And I mean, Norwich, they have been a bit of a breath of fresh air this season, the way they've come up and had their impact on the Prem, but we should be beating them next week.
Yeah, absolutely. And the games, like you said, are coming thick and fast now. So it's an opportunity for United to really build on this particular game. It's Partizan Belgrade on Thursday, then it's Norwich, then it's Chelsea in the EFL Cup, and then it's Bournemouth away. So games coming thick and fast. Of course, we're nearly out of time, mate. It's a shame. I feel like we could talk for another hour. But just quickly to finish, Roy Keane has created quite the stir on Sky Sports today. A bit of a debate with Graeme Souness and Gary Neville. He fully believes United should buy Harry Kane. And his quotes, to be exact, the former United player, Roy Keane, just go and get Kane from Spurs. Easy.
Easy as that. I mean,
easy as that.
Should he be the new director of football then, if it's that easy? I mean, I personally wouldn't want to be in the room when Roy Keane's negotiating. But I would love Harry Kane at United. But I think the important thing is we do need a certain amount of players. We need a goal scorer and we need another striker to add. Rashford played well today, and I know Marshall coming on, but we need a proper poacher. I mean, we could talk for hours on potentially people that are linked with United. I think we need to be smart, so I don't think you can go and buy a Harry Kane for 150 mil and then move on about Jadon Sancho for the same. I think you've got to be smart about it. I quite like Timo Werner at RB Leipzig in the Bundesliga. I think he's got around about a £30 million buyout clause, but looks a very good player, young. So I think we need to start buying the right players, but in the right positions. So we need to decide our style of play, and then you look at any good team in world football, and they have a style of play, and the players they just buy and just slot in and out, and you'll have different variety of quality of player, but you need just to know what sort of style of football you're playing, and then go off that rather than buying a mismatch of players for hundreds of millions and then trying to form some sort of team with that.
Yeah, Werner's an interesting one as well. 6-8 so far in the Bundesliga, and he's got international recognition, but he almost goes slightly under the radar in the Bundesliga because of the players they have there, the likes of Lewandowski, Jadon Sancho pulling up trees at the moment. But Werner just sort of quietly going about his business. He's been a target for a number of clubs, of course, over the past two or three years. At one point, I believe Liverpool were looking at him, but maybe just now is the time, as he's coming into his pomp, really, as a striker, that United step in and maybe put that bid in. Mario Mandzukic, of course, seems like he's the number one target for January. Will that happen or not? We don't know. Ben, like I said, it's a shame, mate. I feel like we could talk for another hour. It's been a pleasure having you on. Thank you.
Thank you, mate.
This has been the Manchester United Fan Show on Love Sport. We will see you next Sunday at 9 p.m. after that Norwich, we hope, victory.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.